Today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 6, first chapter in our Bible. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 22 today. 11 through 22. Talking about a familiar story, but maybe looking at it from a different perspective. That's Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 through 22. The title of today's sermon is God Blesses Obedience. God Blesses Obedience. Genesis chapter 6, looking at verses 11 through 22, here's what God's word has to say. It says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside the outside with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Its width 50 cubits. And its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark. And you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which it is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark with your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of the animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its own kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself all the food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Verse 22 says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today, God, asking for your grace, for your blessing, and for your mercy in our lives. Lord, there's many times we go through challenges in life, and God, we turn to ourselves instead of turn to you. Lord, help us to realize the only person that can help us in any time of need is you. Lord, there may be somebody here dealing with a struggle today on their heart, a challenge in their life, a tough time, a health problem, a financial crisis. Lord, none of these things are above you, God. You can handle any of our problems. Lord, I pray as we come to you to bring this message to you today, Lord, that you'd take the burdens from our hearts, that you would open our mind, that you would see this story in a new light, God. A new light that would take us from the persons that we came in here and change us, Lord. Change our soul, change our heart. Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to work in this service today, Lord. God, I know there's things that need to be done after church. There's things that people are already planning. But God, help them to forget of those things so that you can change us, Lord. So that we can come into this church as one person, but to leave as a totally new creation. God, we humbly submit ourselves to you and your word today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Obedience. Obedience. What a tough word. What a tough word. How many people in our congregation today really like to be told what to do? How many people just love for somebody to tell them what to do? Does anybody like that? You just really like for somebody just to get up in the morning and start ordering you around every day of your life. Does anybody like that? No, absolutely not. I think if we're honest with each other, we want to be the ones telling others what to do, don't we? Because why? Because we know everything. Or at least we think we do. But we want to be the ones telling other people what to do. But it just doesn't seem to work out like that, does it? I don't know about you, but it seems like we're told what to do our entire life, aren't we? We start out as these young children. And from that time, we're told, pick up your toys. Keep your hands out of there. Put that back. Don't put that in the cart. Then we get to middle school age and we're told, you have to go to school. It doesn't matter. This stuff I'm learning, who cares? I'm never going to use this stuff anyway. It doesn't matter, son or daughter. You need to go to school. Then it gets worse. You come home from school and what do your parents tell you? Where's your homework, Larry? I don't have any homework. Larry, where's your homework? And now we have this wonderful thing called Power School, so all parents all over the world can know whether Larry has homework or not, so he can never get away with it. And it doesn't stop there as a young man or a young woman. Then as we're middle school age, we start to understand a little bit about chores. Brother Lyle, do you ever have to do any chores in your house?
All the time.
All the time. I'll bet it wasn't before middle school age you had to do chores, probably.
Milk cows.
Has anybody in here milk cows before? Amen. Can I get a move? No, I'm just kidding. But yes, I mean, those are some chores. Folks, I grew up in Chicago. We bought our milk at the grocery store. But I can understand it's hard work to milk cows. And not only that, you learn about doing things like washing dishes, right, Josh? Amen. Yep. Good. We learn about mowing. We learn about cleaning. And that's not where it stops. You get out of middle school and you go on to high school and we're told, oh, how was your day, son? It was great. Go help your dad work on the car. Go help your mom work in the garden. Like, oh my goodness. And then as you're an adult, maybe you get a job. Maybe you go to college. But then you're still told what to do. Here's some more things you need to learn. Here's how you're supposed to do this on a daily basis. And then if you're blessed enough to be married, do you think you're told what to do in marriage? Absolutely, right? Once you get married, the honey-do list. And like I told you earlier, I sure appreciate you giving me the week off for pastor's appreciation. But next time you need to tell my wife, because the honey-do list were growing, whether I was painting or mowing or building, stuff was taking place. The honey-do list never stopped. And then you get older, and the times change when you get older. When you get older, instead of you being the parent telling your kids what to do, they start telling you what to do. Now, Dad, did you take your medicine? Yes, I took my medicine. Honey, no, you did not. I do not want to argue in front of the kids right now. Mom, did you go for a walk today? Well, I was thinking about doing it after dinner. Mom, you know you're supposed to walk. It's good for your heart. I mean, we're always told what to do, aren't we? It seems like we can never escape that. But have you ever wondered why? Why do people always tell us what to do? Becky, why do people tell us what to do? Do you know? You sound like you're doubting that a little bit. My dad always said you're older and wiser, and she's like, well.
I don't know.
So maybe that's one reason people tell us what to do. Why else does somebody tell us what to do? What do you think, Brother George? Why does Carol tell you what to do?
Because she loves me.
Do you believe that with all your heart?
Yes.
Brother, this is recorded. It's going to go on the internet. Okay, I just want to make sure you know that. All right, good deal. Yeah, because they love us. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, people are always telling you what to do. They always think they know what's best for you. Is it really because they love you? Or is it because they just want control over you? Like, why are people always telling you what to do? And I came up with, well, people are probably telling you what to do because they want to either teach you something, they want to show you a way to help yourself, or they want to give you a way to help other people. That's probably why people are always telling us what to do. But, and we have a choice. See, like, if we do what we're told the first time, things usually end up pretty good. If I say, Josh, I need you to wash dishes this week, and Josh says, okay, I'll take care of it, Dad. With that nice tone of voice and everything, no stomping, no throwing a fit, everything's good. And then Josh is happy because he knows he's helping Mom and Dad with the house. We're happy because Josh is helping with the house. Everything seems to work pretty good. But if we don't do what we're told to do on the first time, we'll ask Dave Whittington how that works out. But if we don't do what we're told the first time, ask Dave Whittington how that works out. I'm telling you, it doesn't work out so good. Sometimes you got one party mad at you, you got another party mad at you, and you end up in a rough shape. But then there's that crazy time, the time that only parents and wives and husbands can do, where they don't really tell you what to do, but they strongly suggest what you should do. Shannon in her sweetest voice. Alan, would you take this lovely gift certificate that the church bought you from Lowe's for pastor's appreciation and go get some paint and begin painting our living room? But don't worry, sweetie, I'll help you when I get home from work. Now, it almost sounds like I have a choice in the matter, doesn't it? Because there's this word, would you, sweetie, please, blah, 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 right? So it's almost like I have a choice, and I do. I can say yes, and everything is good. Or I can say no, and we'd still be arguing today. I mean, it's not like you really have a choice. And so, and for us people, I think we're just rebellious people. How many times have our parents told us, don't touch the hot stove, and what do? Ow, that hurts. Well, duh, I told you not to touch it. You know, that's just what our nature is. And so we may rebel against people, but there's one person that we should never rebel against, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that's in this book is because he wants to help us. He's trying to teach us how to have a good life, how to live a better life, not to make all these mistakes that so many others had made. He is trying to help us. And so I want you to think about the story of Noah in an act of obedience today. Think about this as I read this scripture again from Genesis chapter 6. Verse 11, well, actually, verse 13 through 22, it says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with a lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons and your sons' wives with you, and of every living thing of all flesh. You shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds of their kind, of the animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself all the food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. And thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. So the key verse I want you to pay attention to today is verse 22. It says, thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. So if you ever heard the old Bill Cosby bit, where Bill Cosby is making fun of Noah, he's talking about Noah, and it seems like Noah is arguing with God about the construction of the ark. And while that sounds like it would be good, well, it sounds like that's something we might do, that's not actually true to Scripture. That doesn't happen. What happens is Noah does all that God commands him to do. He doesn't argue with him about it. Now, we might argue with God about it, but Noah didn't do that. And the strange thing about this is Noah follows exactly what God tells him to do. And this is no simple task. It wasn't like Noah was asked by God to go plant a tree somewhere. It wasn't like God asked Noah to go feed a homeless person somewhere. It wasn't like God asked Noah to go take care of this little creature somewhere. Oh no, God was asking for something huge, something insurmountable. A giant task was before Noah, something that seemed even undoable. God was asking Noah to build an ark. What even is an ark? And God didn't just ask Noah to build any ark, did he? No. God can be very specific sometimes when he's telling us to do something. God asked Noah to build this ark that happens to be 300 cubits in length, 50 cubits in width, and 30 cubits in height. You say, well, what's a cubit? Well, they say there's various different ways to measure a cubit. But back then they'd measure a cubit from here to about here. And so it was about 17 and a half inches is what a cubit would be. And so this means the ark would be about 1.5 football fields long. Can you imagine building something that long? I can't imagine making a straight line of 2x4s that I bought from the grocery store, from the builder store, that long and nailing them together. That's gigantic. And that would just be one small line, right? Well, Bill, would you stand up? Stand up, Brother Bill. Look at this guy. So he's a good size, right? What are you, Bill? About 6'1"? 6'2"? 6 foot? All right, perfect. So this ark would be about 17,592 bills long. That's pretty long. Go ahead, sit down, Brother Bill. Thanks. That's a lot of bills. You may want bills like that in your wallet, but I don't know if you want that many bills in your house, do you, Angela?
One's enough.
One's enough. So this is, we're talking huge, man. This massive deal here is over 17,592 bills long. That's really a long place. And this ark is so huge that the inside of the ark, I calculated the square foot because I'm kind of a nerd, but is 1,518,750 cubic feet. That's pretty big. Probably bigger than a Walmart. I should have looked that up, but I didn't think about it. But that's the equivalent of about 569 train boxcars. So now are you getting the image about how big this place is? How big this ark is? And here you have one man. We don't know that Noah was a carpenter. We don't know that what Noah was doing at that point in time. But all of a sudden he gets this task, the colossal task. You're going to build an ark. And what does Noah say? Verse 22 says, and he did all that God commanded him to do. That's it. He just listens to what God told him to do. He didn't say, God, there's no way I'm going to be able to build this thing. It's ginormous. What about all the animals? What about all the poop? Who's going to clean that up? He didn't say any of that stuff. He said, okay, and he built it. How many times does God ask us to do stuff, but we think the problem is too big? We think the thing that God wants to do is too giant that we're scared to even step out and do what God tells us to do. This was a common man, and he's building an ark 1.5 football fields long. Does anybody else find that crazy? I find that amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so I thought, if the average animal is about the size of a sheep, then this ark could fit 125,000 animals. 125,000 animals. Who has a dog or two or a cat? Do you like taking care of your animal every day?
No.
Good, honest man. Some of us, yes. Some of us, no. You know? Can you imagine taking care of all these animals? My goodness. So I looked up. There's the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. It holds 2,000 animals and 4,000 different species. And so if you think about it, this ark could hold 60 national zoos from Washington, D.C. This thing is giant. Absolutely giant. And since this is the first ark ever built, you know what, Sister Carol? It doesn't come with an instruction manual. Nothing. There was no instruction manual. He was just simply relying on what God told him to do it. Talk about a tough situation. It was backbreaking work. It required a lot of blood, I'm sure, sweat and tears. Has anybody in the congregation ever built anything out of wood before? Anybody ever smashed their thumb with a hammer? Do you know how many times Noah must have smashed his thumb with a hammer? This thing is 1.5 football fields long. This guy's thumb was practically falling off, probably. The blood blister, it never leaves you. You hit it one time, and then for weeks people are asking you that dumb question. What happened to your thumb? What do you think happened to my thumb? I hit it with a hammer, you know what I mean? This poor guy, he hit it with a hammer so many times. But you know what we don't see? Is we don't see Noah complaining about the hard work that God called him to do either. We don't see any of that. What we see is it took an incredible amount of faith. It took an incredible amount of perseverance. It took an incredible amount of persistence. But Noah didn't complain. He just did what God told him to do. How many of us, when God tells us to do something, we make excuses? How many of us, when God puts us in a situation to do some hard work, we say, well, our back hurts. Well, we're tired. Well, we've had a long day. Noah didn't do any of that. You know, Jewish tradition, I don't know if this is true or not, but Jewish tradition says that Noah even had to plant trees and wait for them to grow to cut them down for some places to build part of this ark. Talk about patience and persistence. And yet he didn't complain about any of that? How many of us pray to God, Lord, please answer my prayer, and then he answers our prayer and we complain about it? When I think about how my life stacks up to Noah, I feel like I'm about this big. Noah didn't complain. Noah was obedient. And you know, because of Noah's obedience, it changed every single one of our lives. All we read about is the Lord telling him the specifications for the ark. That's it. And in verse 22 it says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. So I guess what I'm trying to tell you today, church, is when God tells us to do something, we just need to do it. We don't need to question him. We don't need to hem and haw about it. We don't need to talk to a bunch of other people necessarily about it. We don't even need to necessarily keep praying about it. If God told you to do it, you just need to do it. And you say, well, Pastor, I can understand how you say that, but God calls you to do some pretty crazy things. He may call you to do some pretty big things. And what if God calls you to do something you can't do? Well, I know that God would never call you to do something that you couldn't do. Because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So folks, what I guess I'm saying is you have no excuse. If God calls you to do something, or if he calls me to do something, we have to do it. And we have to stop questioning God. We just need to be faithful and step forward when he calls us. God may say, Angela, I want you to share with this person over there. I want you to give your testimony to this person. You're going to change this person's life. And you say, I'm at work. Can't really do that. What if they ask a question I don't know the answer to? What if they report me to my boss and then I look foolish? What if I get fired? No, Lord, let somebody else do it. No, that's not the right answer. The right answer is if God lays it on your heart, you just do it. He'll take care of the rest. Think about it. God told Noah to build an ark in the middle of the desert. He didn't tell him to build it near an ocean, near a big body of water. He told him to build it in the middle of the desert. I mean, who builds a boat in the middle of a desert? Would you do that, Alva? I'm just going to build a boat in the middle of the desert. What are people going to think about you? I'm serious. But he does it. Who hammers away for 120 years on something they may never even need? Who banks their entire future on something that's never even happened before, a flood of this magnitude? I'll tell you who. A man who's obedient. A man who has faith. A man who's trusted in the Lord, even when he didn't understand. Now, I don't know exactly what God is calling you to do each day. But I do know that he wants you to do it. And I do know that he wants you to trust in him. He wants you to have faith in him, even if it doesn't make sense what he's telling you to do. Has anyone in our congregation here today ever had God tell him to do something that just seemed off the wall, completely strange, crazy? Anybody ever asked you to do something like that? Yes. Angela is a great example. She coaches a volleyball team. Angela doesn't know a whole lot about volleyball. She played it before. And I remember when she got the job, she called me. She's like, Alan, I got the job. This is going to be great. I said, oh, that's going to be awesome. As a teacher, you're going to change so many kids' lives. She's like, yeah, I'm also a volleyball coach. What do you know about volleyball? I played it before. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But her volleyball team won a game yesterday, didn't they? Praise the Lord. It's the little things in life. God may call you to do these things, and you do them. And because of your obedience, great things happen. You never know. God may call you to do something outside your comfort zone. I don't even say may. He will call you. And great things will happen if you're faithful to just the simple acts of obedience that he asks you to do. Who would have thought popcorn would have anything to do with a church building? Who would have thought that? What does popcorn have to do with a church building? Or seeing people's lives changed? But right here in our church, I wrote this down so I wouldn't mess it up. Just a few months ago, last June to be exact, God led one man to look at a kettle corn machine ad on Facebook while he was handing out bulletins. That man embraced it, looked at it, came up to me and said, "Alan, what do you think about a kettle corn maker?" I don't want one. Well, for the church. What is the church going to do with a kettle corn maker? And then he walked back downstairs. I don't know. And then he thought some more. Maybe God was speaking to him. That led to a group of people in the church investigating and praying about whether we should get a kettle corn machine. Then later that night, God laid it on one person's heart to purchase the kettle corn machine. That led, that act of obedience, led to many people in the church bonding together to serve together at these fundraisers like they had never bonded before. We had 10, 12, sometimes 14 people from the church coming together, spending all day together, learning all kinds of things about each other and growing as a congregation, truly working as people of God. Those acts of obedience led to our church outreaching and witnessing to people about the Lord's good work, which has since led us to pray for many people and change their lives, which has led people to come visit our church and attend our church, which has even led us to grossing over $5,668 since June. All because of one simple act of obedience after another. And as we continue to follow those simple acts of obedience that God calls us to do, we'll see people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We'll see people attend church services with us, and we'll watch families change. We'll even see a flat sanctuary built outside. Amen. Where people of all abilities and disabilities can come in and worship together. All because simple acts of obedience, following what God calls us to do, one day at a time. Isn't God amazing? Yeah. Folks, amen. Folks, if God is calling you to do something, you need to do it. Don't question it. No matter how outlandish it is, no matter how strange it is, don't question it. Just do it, because God blesses obedience. Over and over again, we see Jesus calls us to do things that so many blessings come from. Luke 11:28 said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Not only did Noah build this ark, but he immediately followed what God told him to do. Remember verse 22. "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did." And you know that design that he gave Noah? That design ratio is still considered the golden mean for stability during storms at sea, even to this day. You know that a vehicle, a ship of that magnitude, wasn't built until the 19th century. Folks, one simple act of obedience. Noah's act of obedience changed the world. It saved the world. You wouldn't be here, and neither would I, if Noah hadn't been obedient to God. So think about it. I believe your obedience, your one act of obedience, will change the entire world. I believe it will. And so my big question for you, my big challenge before we leave today, is what purpose has God given you? What purpose has God given you for his life? What simple act of obedience is God calling you to do today that maybe you've been pushing him off? Think of it this way. John 10:10 says this. The thief, Satan, comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I, Jesus, come that you may have life and may have it more abundantly. Can you say that you have life and life more abundantly today? Are you fulfilled? Do you feel like that you are doing the Lord's work? Do you know what your purpose in life is? If you don't, maybe today is the day you start asking God. You say, you know what, I never really thought about that. I've been living my life just for me. I've been living my life just for Alan and for Alan's family. Maybe I need to live my life today for God and say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? I got a couple years left. I got 40 years left, hopefully. I got 2 days left. God, what do you want me to do with this life that you've given me? It all starts with obedience. Noah built the ark because God commanded it. Not because it made sense, but because God commanded it. It's what he was called to do in life. Sawing planks, hammering nails was an act of obedience. And when everything was said and done, I don't know if you know this, but this is the longest act of obedience ever recorded in Scripture today. From start to finish, Noah's act of obedience in building this ark took 43,800 days of faithful obedience. And with each day of obedience, he glorified God. So I want to tell you something. No matter what tool of trade that you have, whether it's a rag and a bottle of bleach, whether it's a pen, whether it's a stethoscope, a hammer, a keyboard and a mouse, a mop, a spreadsheet, a microphone, a computer, a textbook, a semi-truck, or a plunger, when you use it, you're showing an act of obedience to what God has called you to do. It's a mechanism that you show God that you're worshiping him, and you're loving him, and you're loving his people. The Bible says in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The job you do every day is important. Don't put yourself down and think what you do isn't important. Whether you're mopping the floor at Holiday Resort so that the people there don't fall down and hurt themselves, or you're the farmer harvesting the crops, or you're the production worker building products to make people's lives better, you can serve and worship the Lord in every job that you do. I want to close this message with an old proverb today to show you the importance of one simple act of obedience. This old proverb's called "For Want of a Nail." It goes like this. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the message was lost. For want of a message, the battle was lost. For want of a battle, the entire kingdom was lost. And all that happened because a horseshoe nail fell out of a horseshoe. Don't think that the job you're doing for God is not important. Don't think that that simple act of obedience that God calls you to do is not important. In God's eyes, small acts of obedience are big things. When you joyfully do the little things that God calls you to do, God will do the big things like they're little things. That's how God's kingdom advances. That's how it grows. So keep on doing what God is calling you to do. Be obedient when God calls you to do something. What you're doing is important. It's necessary. God blesses obedience. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you today and we thank you, Lord, for stories like this in Noah. We thank you, Lord, for stories in our own life, God, where we've seen by just following one thing that you've called us to do has changed the lives of us, has changed the lives of others, and has blessed many people to come. Lord, help us not to question what you call us to do, but help us to be faithful. God, we're human beings and we have this way of reasoning and listing pros and cons, and sometimes our mind outweighs our faith. Lord, help us just to follow you. Lord, maybe there's somebody here that was listening to the message today, knowing that God's been calling them to do something. Maybe they've been called to make a change in their life that they've been putting off. Maybe they've been called to start something that they haven't started. Maybe they've been called to stop living for themselves and to start living for you, God. To stop putting you first in their lives, Lord. Maybe there's somebody here who's been listening to the message and they want to know their purpose, God. They want to know your plan for their life, but they just don't know it yet. Maybe there's somebody here that would love to do what God wants them to do, but they just don't know what God wants them to do. Lord, give them the strength to come down here and pray at these altars today and say, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with the time I have left here on earth. I don't even know how long I'll be here, God, but I want to serve you. Show me, Lord. Maybe there's here somebody today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior. Maybe there's here that somebody that just never accepted that gift of salvation. I mean, they believe in Jesus. They know that he's fully God and he's fully man. They know he died on the cross for their sins. They know he wants to forgive them of their sins. He knows that they're the only key to heaven is you, Jesus. But for whatever reason, they just haven't accepted you as their Lord and Savior yet. Maybe God is calling you right now to come to him. Don't deny the Lord any longer. Don't wait any longer. Come up on here and pray. Remember, God blesses obedience. One simple act of obedience can change your life forever. If God is calling you to do something today, to start something, to stop something, to make a difference, to give your life to him, maybe you don't even know what you're supposed to do, why don't you come to these altars and pray? I can't help you, but I know Jesus can.